Welcome, listeners. It's an incredibly special day today. Not only is it Rack Addicts After Hours episode 31, we are in a pub.
Wow.
An English public house. Not an English public house, the English pub that we always used to come to after work on a Saturday to
same
record
table.
These. We don't have, it was exactly the same table. We don't have Andy, which is the only downer on this particular day, but we're back. It's a little bit strange, but we've got draft beer. Yeah, that's real.
Cheers to that.
That was a horrible sip of beer that you just heard, but we're back. We're back in our natural habitat, and we've got another podcast for your ears. Weekly update time. I've been doing a little bit of house viewing. I'm following Intelmo's steps when we'll be moving somewhere at some point in the future. That's as specific as I can get.
You better be ready for hell.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, especially if it ends up being an apartment on, you know, maybe six floors up and you've got to move a sofa.
I would imagine if the lift doesn't work.
The lifts weren't big enough for a sofa. Okay. Did some viewings today.
Okay. Yeah.
Not confident. But that's about all I've been up to. Tell Mo, how are you settling in the new place?
Pretty good. Pretty good. As I mentioned last week, I finally had my desk set it up. So I managed to get some work done this week. I've got some good news from the work side of my music life. I've been asked to produce what is currently one of the artists that is number one in Portugal in the iTunes chart. I'm very happy. He's an all-time friend of mine. We were in our first band together, and we've been kind of following each other since, obviously, because I've been out of the country since moving to France and then moving to England. We never really done anything, but we are now co-producing what is going to be part of his next EP, which is due to be released sometime next year. So I've started to work on that this week.
So evolutionary timeline of Telmo. We've had Telmo the guitarist, Telmo the all-around jazzy musician boy, now Telmo the producer.
Yeah, hopefully I can have them all into one sort of single line of work. There will be loads of guitars, obviously, involved. But he's into this sort of like Jamiroquai, like late 90s kind of vibe with loads of funky synths and stuff like that.
Doesn't sound bad to me at all.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward for that. Nice. I'm also still working with another Portuguese artist. She's an emerging Portuguese artist, so I'm also helping with some production there. I've been doing the odd collaboration. I've currently on the work with a drummer and a singer for a really cool Steely Dan Babylon Sisters collaboration, so
cool.
I'm really looking forward to learn the guitars for that. And yeah, it's been that and the old practice, the old I actually set up my guitars this week. I did a little TLC to them, which they
so
needed.
So that's also Telmo the guitar technician.
There we go.
That's Telmo number four for
oh
you.
Oh my god, guys, you know me so well. There's so much Telmos out there.
The four Telmos of the apocalypse.
So yeah, that's another thing that I've been doing. I actually did a workshop once about setting up guitars and about looking after your instrument. But let's not get into that because it's a whole different world and it will take about two
one,
hours.
One small kettle of fish,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Pete, how have you been?
Not too bad. I've been trying to get the workshop up to scratch, get some space. I'm trying limbering up to get myself in a position to start building some of the projects that I've been putting off.
The backlog.
Yeah.
So I want to get my small Eurac case built. It's been, I think I've been waiting something like nearly a year now. This is a bit ridiculous. So what I've had to do is clear out. I've got lots of work for various customers. So I'm trying to sort of get that backlog done to get onto the other backlog. So
it's the more fun backlog.
Yes, the stuff that really, really is important.
How long do you reckon it will take you to get all of that done? Is it if you really spend your whole time doing that?
The problem being is because I'm such a hoarder in that respect, I find myself just moving stuff to get to stuff and then moving stuff and putting it in the way of other stuff and it's climbing over stuff. It's ridiculous.
You need to meditate on Adam Savage's philosophy of first order retrievability, I think he calls it.
Yeah, mine is you have to sort of risk life and limb just trying to get near some of the stuff. It's ridiculous. So I've either got to get rid of purge and get rid of lots of stuff, which is not really, it's not going to happen. So, or I need a bigger workshop, a much bigger workshop, but that's not going to happen either. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have a concerted effort and try and optimize everything, get it all sorted out. So, and I have got quite a lot of, I mean, I have been over the last couple of months in lockdown, I've been, well, I've got into a bit of a rut, and I'm sure lots of people have who've been sort of in the similar position have got to the same state where I've been sort of contemplating my navel a bit too much. You know, it's been all too easy just to sort of ponder the situation, wonder when, you know, how long is this going to go on for, when's it going to end, what's going to happen at the end of it, and all that sort of stuff. And sort of lo and behold, we're kind of, I don't know if I can say we're coming out of it, but we're entering a new phase, let's put it that way.
Yeah, where the government has no idea what's going on. But
But, I mean, the strangeness hasn't dissipated. Everything is just as strange, but we're sort of in sort of more familiar surroundings. So
yeah, we've had customers in the shop, and we've all found it a little bit weird seeing real other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had that experience earlier today, and that was somewhat bizarre. Especially with all the precautions that we're taking. And obviously that's very important to keep our customers safe and keep ourselves safe. But, the interaction. I mean, because the edict is to wear masks, certainly for the staff, I found that I was having to try and express myself with my eyebrows, you know, vigorously sort of waving
of
around. Whereas, you know, you'd have those sort of the whole variety of communication via more sort of general facial expression that was denied.
Can you imagine if that transposes to your body as well? Like you're like in an exaggerated leaning pose.
And suddenly your arms start flailing around in a weird interpretive
dance.
And
then you become Italian for a bit.
Yeah,
excuse
me
strange,
for
the misconceptions. But
interpretive mime or something like that. No, I was just very conscious that I was over-exercising the brows.
Working out your, facial expressions, no wrinkles.
So tune in next week for Pete's eyebrow fitness seminar so you too can emote over a face mask. We've got some cool topics to jump into today. One, I believe, has got Pete quite excited. If you know Black Corporation, they Japanese. I want to say they're Japanese. But they made the Deckard's Dream clone-ish tribute, certainly, of the Yamaha CS80, which you can DIY, rack mount, MPE, piece of win. They've gone Eurorack module on it. Pete, do you want to dig into this one first?
Yeah, this one, like a lot of things, crept up on me last week. So I'm not sure quite when the announcement was made. It's obviously relatively recent because news travels fast in this sector. But I can't remember who it was, but someone was demonstrating it, and I got quite excited.
I think DivKid put one up quite recently. That's where I saw it, at least.
And I maintained my excitement until I sort of saw the actual price.
The actual price.
Well, I mean, initially I saw a price, but I didn't realise that was just a pre-order deposit.
Oh, yeah, the $199.
Yeah, I thought, wow, yeah, I'm going to order one straight away. Oh, no, that's...
I'm going to get three.
That's only a deposit. It's $699.
Yeah.
But having said that, I mean, it's a complete synth. I mean, so that's not that excessive.
So no, when you say complete synth, what is it? What are the features in this bad boy?
Well, excluding keyboard, you got oscillator... Oscillators, I believe. LFO, VCA envelopes. It is a full voice in a little box, and reasonably flexible with the kind of modulation routing. And of course, what it will have over the CS80 clone, the Deckard's Dream, is it's got all the CV and CV gates and patch points and things, so you can integrate it a little bit better in your modular system. So that's kind of the attraction. Obviously, only one note at once.
Yeah.
Although I believe the LFO goes really, really fast. I'm just staring at the panel. Do we have, how many oscillators do we have? I really don't know the CS80 as well as I would like. Staring at it. Obviously filters, we've got high pass, we've got low pass. No, just one oscillator.
So I was just saying it. Just one. It only talks about the one VCO.
Mm.
The various waveforms that it will produce.
I feel ashamed for not knowing enough about the CS80 now.
Well, I don't even know how much polyphony is in the full size Decca Stream.
Well, it's an 8 voice.
Okay,
like that. The CS80. But then, of course, it's that extra dimension. Although you wouldn't get if you had a bunch of these. It would take a lot of modular to get the same level of expression that
of course,
the MPE that the full size 19 inch rack mount Boyo will get you. Although you don't have to then invest in Roly or Harken type controllers for it. But no, the demos it really does sound great. And with my current thoughts with my own system of going smaller, but compartmentalizing it. I'm thinking of getting a couple of the IntelliGel palettes.
Yeah.
So you can pick a palette, an ambient palette, the synth palette. But then also with the refresh of the Pittsburgh Modular Black Box, there's a new version of that out. Just having the small little synths, no keyboard, it's just a really tiny bit that you can easily store away and you go, oh, I love that sound. And you can literally just grab this little box that will do that sound. I'm kind of intrigued by the possibilities of just little modules knocking about. So if you have a small case, Deckard's voice is a pretty powerful looking thing. Like a 4MS pod would do really well with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you could just have that in a sequencer or something.
Yeah, and that's a serious bit of synth.
Maybe in a little effects processor or something like that. But I mean I'm tempted to actually just order one anyway, but it's only this I haven't actually put it into the show notes, but there was a thing about delays because they're having supply.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
So looking at it and obviously knowing the size and looking at the functionalities.
I like the word functionality.
Functionabilities.
Maybe we should use it.
We should use it, should we?
Mm.
Right. Let's patent that word. Yeah. Functionabilities.
Yes.
So the fact that it's going for $699, I mean, it might not be that bad if you compare the functionabilities of the Deckard's voice compared to other of its competitors.
Yeah, if you think about, I was thinking about the IntelliGel Atlantis. I mean, that's a complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's got. Has it got two oscillators? Or is it just
Atlantis does, yeah. One of which is normally. It's the LFO, but it's exactly the same innards in there, so you can easily get two oscillators
but
going.
That's not an inexpensive module.
No, 700 odd quid you're talking for one of those guys.
I mean, even some of the other manufacturers just their oscillators on their own, like the
the CSL that I bought.
Is it the
Macbeth stuff? That's thousands for an oscillator.
Yeah, that's really or Schwaemann.
Yeah, big money.
Perfect for Shakespeare. so yeah, $699. I mean, that's what just £550 English
something
payments,
like that.
Something
English
like that.
Funt.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so it's pretty competitively priced with other semi modular things. Then you'll get the person going, but you can buy a DeepMind 6.
Yes, you can.
For that,
yes, you can. But it's not the
different
choice.
I mean, I wonder if there doesn't seem to be any plans to have a kit of this. I mean, I did have the first thing I looked for is, do they do a kit?
If that's a thing, I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in there.
So if they do decide, but I can see myself getting one of these potentially. It depends. I might have to watch a few more videos to get excited about it.
We'll see.
And, I mean, is it going to give you that kind of CS80 only monophonic sound? Or is it going to?
It's interesting to think what that... I'm trying to think famous tracks using the CS80, how much of that is just, you know, one noting it and not using any kind of unison type sounds.
Trying to think of Blade Runner's soundtrack.
All I'm thinking is just the big pad type stringy moments.
Yeah.
Mm. It might do. I mean, the demo sound great. I don't know how much it would make people go, oh, that's obviously a CS80 there.
Mm.
Because it's mono.
Well, yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's not that feeling.
Food for thought, I believe, on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be with the... the CV inputs and the modulation, and I think it could be quite an interesting thing.
Pretty tasty, and I do like it's actually something that I don't think gets talked about too often is the ergonomics of going knobs versus faders.
Oh yeah.
In terms of synths, because one thing that's great actually about the Atlantis, about this one, anything that's got faders for the filter is the interesting ergonomic interplay you can have between the filter cutoff and the resonance.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to imagine this.
Yeah.
You could go close the filter and increase the resonance and backwards, depending on which hand you use. If you're grabbing it with a forefinger and thumb, you can get some really nice organic stuff if you're really, you know, getting stuck in.
Yeah, it's about the feeling, isn't it? It creates a different feeling if you have a slider or a knob. But yeah, I do like it.
Subtle differences.
Cool. Mm. In other news.
Mm. So, the Zoom H8. A new announcement. I think they discontinued both the Zoom H4N and the H6 to replace them with black editions.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've released the H8.
Okay.
Ooh. Whoever designed this in terms of visuals.
So describe us, how does it look like?
So it's kind of, it's modular as the Zoom stuff is, where you can replace the capsule. That's cool, right?
Yep.
We like that. They've wedged 6 XLR inputs into the middle of it. That's cool. That's a lot of stuff for a portable interface recorder thing. It actually has quite a lot of interesting features, which we'll get into later. But then it's got a touch screen, which can be cool, but it's in this extra blob at the bottom. So with the new capsule that they've made for it, which has that angle adjustability so you can kind of go ORTF and XY, it just looks like a beetle. And then I've been showing this to everybody at work because the promo shots are just ridiculous. There's one picture that's kind of in the middle of their web page where everybody's got an XLR, a male XLR connector in their hand. They're all kind of plugging it into the middle thing. So it's like this weird orgy of music technology. Oh,
it looks like some sort of device that Han Solo is looking all over the galaxy to finally have it in his Millennium Falcon.
It's not a good look. And what's more, you can get a new capsule option where you can get 4 more XLR inputs to replace the built-in microphones. And then it's just 3 blobs stuck together.
It looks horrifying.
But we like Zoom here. We use an H6 for our recording purposes. I own an H5. They're great.
My first demos were recorded in an H4N. I've helped some mates about 5 or 6 years ago doing a short metres, and I was the sound guy using an H4N as well, and they work great. The sound quality is insane.
Yeah, I mean, Zoom stuff very close to our hearts, but design, what were they thinking? Oh, and it's so expensive. £506.99, including VAT.
Only one thing can make up for all of this, Pete. What are the features?
What, if it comes with a Pete? You buy an H8, you get your own Pete to operate it for you.
Yes, please.
The one thing that it struck me was that they've gone to this extent of having all these inputs, and there's a big push towards it being utilized for podcasting, and there's features in there that will lean towards that, but there's still the only one headphone socket, so you can all plug in, and then you've got a 3.5 mil headphone socket.
Gonna have to get a splitter.
One of the splitters I have at home is it kind of looks like the IntelliGel signal splitters, so it's like a star shaped type thing,
right,
with one permanently attached 3.5 mil connector and then 5 other kind of outputs.
Yep.
Just imagine having one of those connected to this.
It's
not only is it spaghetti junction in terms of your cabling, but you've just got these
because
the inputs being arranged sort of all around the circumference of it. It's just
It doesn't look like it's very ergonomic to hold. Maybe it does some sort of like mounting option for stands. I suppose obviously you need to get some sort of a headphone amp.
There's probably a tripod option on the bottom.
Yeah,
but it reminds me of the old Maltesers ice cream, which was amazing. It was kind of like a Magnum, where it's ice cream in the middle, chocolate around the outside, but then little tiny baby Maltesers in the ice cream. But it was like these 3 blobs stuck on top of each other. So it's a cross between a Maltesers ice cream, some kind of beetle, and a Zoom portable recorder.
But it's got a touchscreen.
It does have a touchscreen. And the podcasting features are really cool. Launching sound effects as well, that you can interject those section markers and little jingles, all sorts of stuff. So it's a cool design. It's got a little USB doodad to connect it to the app, I believe, yeah. Which I guess I've seen from the promo stuff on their website. You can kind of monitor levels with a little bit of a taller VU meter.
And something really cool, it looks like the EQ and effects, the zoom effects are known for being very decent for the price.
I've never actually used any of them. Have you used them, Pete?
No.
I've used some of the little interfaces that they have, the guitar pedal interface thing that they do. I completely forgot the name, but the sounds are decent. I've managed to, back in when I was in the store, that was always an option for customers to try if they wanted something to, you know, for effects processing. It's always a good, decent stuff, and they've incorporated that as well into this unit.
It is a quite a weighty price tag, though.
Like, it's 500. How much was the H6? Because my H5 is what, 200 and something? Maybe
the H6s aren't cheap. They cost me at least 350. That
such
that
a jump
off.
Just for more. I suppose there's all the podcasty features.
Yeah.
What? I don't think it says what actual detachable mics you get with it.
I think you get the same one that's on the H6, and that's I think maybe that mid-side one as well. But I think that's kind of it.
That's it.
Similar kind of selection. But then yeah, they've redesigned. There's a new XY/ORTF thing that I mentioned earlier. It'll be compatible with all the old ones. I think they might have done a revision on the shotgun capsule, as well as the weird 4XLR input thing that makes it look like the Maltesers ice cream. You should really go to Zoom's website and look at the product page, because it just gets more ridiculous as you scroll down. Because first you hit the capsule options and it looks like a beetle, and then it's this blobby.
Anyway, to be fair, Rackalix, after hours rating, if you like ice cream, buy the Zoom H8.
I do actually fancy an ice cream now.
Sorry, Pete.
I'm going to the supermarket
the
way back.
What's your poison in the ice cream world?
Oh, I don't know. I do like a bit of Ben and Jerry's.
Yes.
I'm a fish food man.
Fish food is good. Cookie dough.
Yep.
I've got a rather nice one. I mean, my daughter's been encouraging me to do eat the vegan stuff at the moment.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I've had a few of the vegan, not necessarily the Ben & Jerry's ones, but just generally some vegan ice creams. They tend to be a little bit more on the sorbet end, where they're kind of gritty and they're not that really nice, smooth, creamy thing. But the Ben & Jerry's stuff has been...
Yeah, you can barely tell the
really
difference.
Great.
You can't really tell the difference. Yep. So... I've got a particularly nice one that's it's got chocolate and coconut and some other stuff in it, but yeah, it's dangerous stuff. I've got to keep away from it. I tend to pay the price because I can't stop once.
This podcast is not helping my diet, everybody.
And if we've unfortunately thrown a spanner into the works of your diet, please don't attack us on the internet. And speaking of attacking us on the internet, please do engage with us on the Facebook. Please leave a comment on the particular post for this particular episode. If you've enjoyed, if you've got any feedback, we would love to hear from you. It's time, I believe, for our weekly YouTube recommendations. I am so not prepared, so I'm going to hand it over to, I believe, looks like Pete's got something ready to go. Pete, take it away, because I'm going to have to browse.
Take it away, boys.
Right, one of the channels that I tend to watch on occasions, it's quite professionally done, and the channel is called The B1M.
Okay.
Their forte, or what they concentrate on, is... large construction projects, and they're sort of I don't know if it's a channel particularly for architects or anything like that. They don't get very technical, but they do go into sort of more detail than you would normally get, and they look at current sort of skyscrapers that have been built around the world, go into detail, talk about the construction,
that's really
time scales and so forth, and they talk about potential projects that are being planned. You know, some that are in fruition, some that have started, some that haven't started yet. And generally, I don't know whether they get... I don't know if they're actually filming this stuff themselves, or they're just getting all the sort of commercially available footage. The presentation is quite good. Generally, you see the presenters occasionally, but mostly they're featuring the actual the buildings and the construction. And the footage from that, but it's again, it's not too taxing. It's a relatively easy watch.
I've always been fascinating with architecture and actually and skyscraper buildings. I think it's one of the highest achievements. Well, literally.
He's bringing well, the
I mean, obviously, skyscrapers are one of the most predominant large projects, but they'll look at things like the Crossrail, you know, the which was wasn't that the biggest project in the world? Certainly the biggest project in Europe. You know, the tunneling
not
under
too familiar.
Tunneling under London from east to west.
Oh, okay.
So, like I mean, they're just coming to...
Know nothing.
No, really, they've been doing it for the last kind of thing. Decade or so.
Oh, yeah.
It's massive.
How have I not
so
heard about
it? So you literally get a train from, when it's finished, you can get a train from somewhere like Essex, or from Southend, I don't know if that might be too far, right from the that side all the way to Heathrow.
Wow, not bad.
No, Reading. Let me get
Reading?
All the way to Reading.
Jeez.
I know.
That's a long way.
And it's just one of these massive, boring sort of things. But they'll look at other things, so I didn't know a thing.
That was boring, not boring.
Boring, yeah. Well, both. But I don't know if you, did you realise there was a buildings called ground scrapers?
I've seen vague, the
is it
kind
like
of
a
the
hernia?
Concept.
Is it in
no, it's the opposite. Instead of, they're still huge buildings, but instead of being sort of going up into the sky vertically, they traverse, go along horizontally along the ground.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But they're still massive, massive buildings.
Wow. Yeah, I've also seen the concepts which are, rather than along, literally vertically again, but in the opposite direction. So they're...
There you go, down.
Bored downward.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if any have ever been made, but I've seen the sort of the artwork concept type designs.
Yeah, so they'll feature... I mean, they'll obviously do things like large sports stadiums... Again, skyscraper, just anything that's substantial, you know, even large motorway sort of projects, just anything that's of scale and of particular note. And it's sort of, it's very sort of uplifting, sort of in the respect of, you know, humanity.
Look what we can achieve.
Yeah,
mindset.
Look what we can do. Mm. Unfortunately, there are some really juicy ones that have either been shelved or have stalled. Mm. Is it the Jeddah Tower, which was going to be over a kilometre tall? It was going to be the tallest building in the world and surpass
the Burj Khalifa.
Burj Khalifa, yeah. Yes. And it's got to a certain level and it just seems to have stopped. But I think... Wow. Potentially, their finances of health as they used to be, as we sort of transition away from oil and so forth.
Yeah, it seems like that there's something very interesting that you've mentioned, the fact that, you know, the metropolitan area of London and all of these, you know, transport that you can get around from further distances. It seems to be the opposite of what other big cities are doing. I was reading something this week, and just to kind of like be in the same wavelength as with what we were saying, cities like Melbourne or Paris or Lisbon, they're getting affordable rent on the actual center of the city. So they're actually, because of the whole pandemic, they're not getting as much tourism, but what they are getting is an influx of locals in the city. So they're actually turning things to what it was about maybe 150 years ago or so, which is getting cheaper rent to get key workers, essential workers, people that actually work and live in the city, that work in the city to live in the city, if that makes sense. I guess London is a whole different story.
Yeah, unfortunately, with London, it's been highly gentrified, so progressively the affordable accommodation is sort of being pushed further and further out. And all the key workers have to sort of commute, which sort of adds to their burden, unfortunately. But it's the nature of the beast, London being a very... sort of major international city.
Yeah.
And it's the same symptomatic situation that you get in, I would imagine, New York and San Francisco and
they're just massive
Sydney.
Cities.
Yeah. In that respect. But yes, so that's my one. So it's the
B1M.
B1M.
There we go. I have managed to find some recommendations. I scrolled past a certain channel that you may have heard of on this particular podcast before. I'm talking, of course, about, as I scroll back to it, Chill Modem Music. Just scrolled past them. I wonder who they are. I think they make some good stuff. But
they do.
Also scrolled past Nick Cohen, who does make some incredibly nice tunes. But what jogged my memory is scrolling past Ian colon O, Ian O. This is one of the three superpowers from the Modular Cafe. He has a really, really cool project called Void Null. If you want to search for it online, it's Void underscore Null. So that's a live AV duo on the A side. We're talking modular, big old synthy boys, samples, lots of cool stuff. And visuals, sort of performed, but pre-prepared stuff. And their show that I've seen, I think, three times now, which was about the inevitability of the sun exploding or imploding or running out of fuel or however the hell it works. I'm not very good with space stuff. But when I saw them in the West End Centre in Aldershot, they had one really nice crispy projector that was projecting onto a screen that was on stage with them. Then they'd hung a dust sheet 5 or 6 meters in front of the stage, which they were also projecting onto with a different projector.
Yeah.
And they had, imagine if you will, the sun on the nice crispy projector, and then obviously they had the Earth orbiting it, so it would go behind and then come, it'd be on the dust sheet. So you get a little bit of depth in this
really
kind of performance.
Cool.
And it sort of opens with, in however many billion years, our sun will run out of fuel and consume the solar system. You know, and it was incredibly doomy and pessimistic, yeah. And you're standing there sort of wide-eyed, like, we're all going to die, you know, in billions of years, whatever. But the atmosphere that they create with the combination of the visuals, the samples they use, the kind of the tech stuff, the themes that they go for, and all the audio, it's such an immersive experience that you need... You need to see them live at some point in your life for a soul-crushing experience.
Wow.
In audio and visuals as well.
Beautiful.
I may be supporting them at some point, potentially, hopefully, maybe, in one of their new projects called Q121, which will be performed in a disused wind tunnel in Farnborough? Farnham. Aldershot, I don't know. It's around in Surrey somewhere.
We had a bit of a chat about it last week.
So
we were talking about the cancelled...
Yeah. It's going to happen eventually. It's just going to be postponed because, you know, we can't have live events right now. But Pete here is going to lend some of his laser firepower to it. So they did a test, which I've seen video of, which is incredible. So this wind tunnel, the room, concrete box, so acoustically pretty weird and potentially horrible, but they've used that to their advantage. Concrete box, big old cuboid, quite long. They're doing a front and back speaker system, and they'd taken a fog machine in there and used kind of lighting. So if you've seen Alien, the original Alien, the bit where they sort of go down, they see the all the eggs, and there's that kind of film of mist.
Wow.
Over there, they've lit it in such a way that it feels like you're wading through kind of this sea of mist, and they're doing their AV thing, and there's projections, and it's going to be the coolest thing. Void Null, pay attention to them, because there's going to be some pretty big stuff happening. Probably, we're talking next year, I think.
Wow, exciting news.
It's going to be cool.
That sounds amazing.
They're on YouTube, they live stream on Facebook, and they're incredibly talented people. Telmo, who have you got for us?
I've got a little recommendation here. YouTube channel that I've found out a couple of videos this week. And if you're one of those people that are really struggling, if you're on quarantine, if you're self-isolating, if you're just struggling with the fact that, you know, your local pub is not open yet, you can see your friends, I think this channel could be something to look forward to. It's called Word Porn.
Word Porn?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's quite a big channel, considering that most of their videos have millions of views, but they only have about 7 uploads.
Oh yeah, doing well then.
I know, but it's very interesting because the sort of people that it's basically the face of a person just talking about a certain, just giving you sort of like aspiration goals and telling you that it will be okay.
It's a bit motivational speaking-y type stuff.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. So there's this video from Abraham Tversky, and it's just basically called How to Never Stress Again. True Love Explained, How to Never Be Angry Again. These are the ones that I've watched that I absolutely adored. But there's other ones that, like This Speech Will Change Your Life by Carl Sagan. How I Became a Billionaire as a Mafia Boss. If you're into that, Pete, I'm winking at you. So, yeah, it's very, very inspirational and really gives you something to think about. Me, personally, I think everyone goes through the occasional depressive time, or it may be something that's very constant in your life. Don't worry, we all go through it. It's something that's it's okay to not be okay, and we're here to support each other. So with this note, I would like to leave you with Word Porn.
Word Porn. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Please do reach out to us on Facebook, Rack Addicts. We'll see you next week. Have an excellent weekend day. See you later.